A reading from the book of Psalms, chapter 104, verses 24 to 35. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is a sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. There are ships, go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. These all look to you to give them food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they make them smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
I thank you for your hospitality and inviting me back and welcoming me back on this Pentecost Sunday. Did you know that it's our birthday? Happy birthday! The Church of Jesus Christ was birthed on Pentecost. And sisters and brothers, if that had not occurred, we wouldn't be here. We're here because of the gift of God's Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And in every generation, 2 millennia, 80 generations since. Let's spend some time this morning looking together at God's Word. I would invite our turning to, if you have access to the Pew Bibles, to a book that probably we don't turn to terribly often. It's the book of Numbers, Old Testament book in what one of my friends said is kind of the boring section of the Bible. Well, it perhaps may not be as compelling as some of the Psalms or as engaging as the Gospels, but it contains the experience of Israel in its formation time with Moses in transition from being released from captivity slaves to becoming God's people. And the context for this, the 11th chapter of the book of Numbers, finds that Moses has, at God's direction, has summoned together 70 of the elders of Israel, the leaders, to assist him in the oversight and day-to-day administration of the people of Israel. Imagine if you were the solo leader for something like 50,000 people. How would you do that? Probably not well. And so the Lord says to Moses, gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting and have them take their place there with you. And I, the Lord, will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that is on you, Moses, and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people along with you, so that you will not have to bear it all by yourself. And then in verse 24 is where we pick up the reading. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And Moses gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent, the tabernacle, the place where God and the people of Israel would meet. And then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. And God took some of the spirit that was on Moses and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested upon them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent with the others, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, my Lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to Joshua, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put the Holy Spirit upon them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the reading from the Word of God in the Old Testament. May God open it to our hearts and to our minds. Before the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came only to certain designated persons. It certainly was present for Moses. The Holy Spirit was visited upon the judges of Israel, who were great leaders who were raised up in time of social and political and economic necessity and need. The Holy Spirit rested upon the kings of Israel, but the Holy Spirit did not rest upon all of the people until the day of Pentecost. This is what Moses was yearning for. And so we find the gospel writer Luke, also the author of the book of Acts of the Apostles, recording this event on the day of Pentecost. Acts, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost had come, all of the disciples were together in one place in Jerusalem. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one of them heard the disciples speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they said, "Are not these who are speaking Galileans? How is it then that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're drunk. They're filled with new wine." Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what is spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great coming of the great Lord, the Lord's great and glorious day. And then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the reading from the New Testament. May God open it to our hearts and to our minds. Will you join me in prayer? Breathe, O breathe, your loving Spirit, O God, into every troubled and joyful heart this day. May the Spirit which formed the church at Pentecost and which has guided the church generation after generation, shaping world events, world history, art, music, literature, poetry, drama, may the good news of Jesus Christ continue to radiate forth through the earth, using us, O God, as instruments of your Holy Spirit. Grant that the words of our mouths and the meditations and inspirations of all our hearts may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Within the Christian faith, community, and tradition, there are three great religious holidays and festivals. Certainly the festival of the Incarnation, i.e. Christmas, where we prepare for during Advent and then celebrate the birth of Jesus. How many of you send Christmas cards? Okay. How many of you get Christmas cards? How many of you give and receive Christmas presents? Yeah, it's a major cultural phenomenon, is it not? It really is. And then we come to the second great one, which really defines our faith, and that is the Easter event and all that goes into it, this long period of Lent, the horror of Good Friday, and the joyous word of Jesus is not dead, Jesus is alive. And how many of us send Easter cards and get Easter gifts? Yeah, it is a major, major part of our faith. And then we come to the third great festival, which is Pentecost. How many of you received or sent Pentecost cards? Okay, see, somewhere along the line, Pentecost kind of moves beyond our sense of the immediacy of God. Pentecost is the birth of the church. Pentecost is the coming of the resurrection spirit of the living Christ upon believers, ordinary folks like you and me. And it's recorded by Acts, in Acts of the Apostle, by Luke the writer, that this occurred during the festival of Pentecost. Pentecost is the one of the three great Jewish festivals that in the first century persons of the Jewish faith were required to go to. One of them in Jerusalem was the Passover. And we know from our Christian history that it was during the Passover that Jesus' betrayal, arrest, torture, crucifixion, and resurrection occurred. But 50 days later, there was a second great festival to which all Jewish people who were able were expected to come to Jerusalem to worship from all over the Mediterranean world. Hence the presence in, as we have that long list of sometimes unpronounceable names of countries that don't exist anymore, who were present in Jerusalem. And it was the celebration of the gift of God of the Torah, the law, the teachings of Moses to Israel. It was a great festival. And it had the effect of bringing people together from all over the world. The third great festival within Judaism is called Sukkoth, the Feast of Booths, an agricultural harvest that occurs in September. So it was during the Passover that the events in Jesus' life and death and resurrection occurred. It was during Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, that the event comes with the birthing of the church. What happened? What happened was that the biblical prophecy from Joel of a day as Moses had yearned for, as we heard in Numbers 11, would that God would send the Spirit upon everybody and not just upon the few. It happens. It happens to the disciples. They are given gifts, gifts that empower and enable them in a strange and inexplicable way. For every person from every country who was present in Jerusalem for the Jewish celebration of Pentecost to hear in their own language the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whoa! Imagine going to the United Nations and hearing the ambassador from China speaking in Chinese, and you can understand every word he or she is saying. Hello? What? What's going on here? And the sound and the fury of Pentecost and the appearance to the disciples of tongues as of fire resting upon them caused great consternation among the world. What does this mean? The quickest explanation that Luke records is some people said, oh, they're drunk. They're filled with new wine. To which Peter, and I think this is classic humor, gets up, and his defense is, hey, we're not drunk, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Who gets drunk at 9 a.m.? This is, you know, well. But he goes on and uses that opportunity to proclaim, this is the fulfillment of the Joel prophecy, that in the end times, the Spirit will come upon all flesh, men and women, young and old, well-born and low-born. All flesh will receive from God the gift of the Spirit. And then as you read the rest of this, the sermon that Peter delivers in the remainder of Acts, the second chapter, you see how he proclaims the gospel of Jesus. And that day, Luke says, thousands were converted to the gospel. What happens, sisters and brothers, is that at Pentecost, the gospel goes global. It's no longer a sect of Judaism. It's no longer something that's just in Galilee or Judea or Samaria. It now goes, well, we would say in an internet age, I guess, it goes on the internet. And the world hears the message of God, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gift of the Holy Spirit, sisters and brothers, continues to empower the life and the work, and we believe the destiny and the witness of generation after generation of Christians. We started out with 12. Today, by some estimations, there are more than 2 billion followers of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, on planet Earth. And the numbers are growing, thanks be to God. First communion for some. Multiple communions for many. What are we to make of this gifts of the Holy Spirit? The Gospels and the Bible tells us that there are different gifts. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 talks about spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, different kinds of service, but the same Lord, different kinds of working, but the same God works through them all. To some, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one, the Spirit gives the message of wisdom, another knowledge, another faith, another healing, another the ability to work miracles, another to prophesy, another to distinguish between spirits, another to speak in different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All of these are the gifts of the one and the same Spirit, but used for the edification of the body of Jesus. To some is given the gift of music, vocal and instrumental. To some is given the gift of teaching and nurturing and mentoring of young people. And because of their commitment, time, and the utilization of those gifts of the Spirit, new generations of disciples will come. You're doing Vacation Bible School this week, I believe. In my own life experience, it was the teachers in Vacation Bible School in that protracted period in the Irvingwood Community Presbyterian Church of Chicago, Illinois, where I came to faith, came to know the Lord. It was largely their ministry that helped me really understand the message of Jesus. This is important work. All of the gifts that we utilize in our daily lives, too, we can understand as gifts of the Spirit. I have a son who is a computer whiz. I have to confess my computer, I know how to turn it on, and I know about the web and network, and when it crashes, I know to call Ben. What do I do? And over the phone, he says, well, you know that light that's blinking in it? I mean, he was sitting in Boston telling me, describing what was going on with my computer. That's a gift. I have a niece, my brother's youngest daughter. He has 3 girls. Heather is a math whiz. I mean, she placed 5th in the Illinois state competition in math years ago. And it used to drive her older sisters crazy. They'd come home from college and from high school with calculus and math problems, and they'd struggle with, and Heather would say, can I help? And she'd come over and she'd solve them in her head. And to drive the sisters crazy. How do you do that? She says, well, I, I don't know, I just kind of see it. You ever know anybody like that? You have an older brother or sister like that, or a younger brother or sister. Some people have that gift with languages. You can hear a language and just pick it up quickly. Some are wonderful with grammar. Some are marvelous with the handy arts, with tools. Can fix anything. Something's broken. Oh, yeah, put it together and get it going. Some have athletic ability. They run like gazelles. They swim like fish. The rest of us just stand there agape. How do they do that? It's gifts. And part of life is discovering what are the gifts that God has given to me and to you and to us. And the fact that some have a gift in one area and not in another is not in Christian theological understanding, is not a deficiency. It's differently abled. And the gifts that we use are to the benefit and to the well-being of all. There's a sense in which Pentecost is the gift of the Holy Spirit to us as individuals and in our gifts that we experience and that we use. But it also is the building and the equipping of the church. And what the New Testament writers say over and over is that God gives gifts to individuals that can then be used and shared to edify the whole body. That all are blessed because of the gifts shared of the many. Think about the life of your congregation. Think about perhaps the life of your family. Think about the experience in your workplace, maybe in school. Sometimes we see that competitively. You know, is one gift better than another gift? Or if I have the gift of mathematics and I'm not so good at cooking, or, you know, can't put a recipe together worth anything, and someone else can throw together stuff from scratch and it comes out like Julia Childs has made it, how do people do that? It's giftedness. How do some people sing so beautifully and others of us croak along? How is that? You know, it just... So we rejoice in the gifts of all as they are shared for the benefit of all. Now see, Pentecost is the gift of the Holy Spirit in God's new creation, the Church of Jesus Christ. We are the agents and the ambassadors that is transnational, transglobal. We are the oldest continuing intergenerational, transnational conglomerate in world history. We're 2,000 years old. Think about it, sisters and brothers. When Pentecost occurred in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, North America was unknown. Chesterland, Ohio did not exist. The English language had not been yet created. Wow. God continues to do new things. I thought of that as the young people were here and the three for whom this is the first communion day. Pray God they will be blessed in ways we cannot foresee. When I come to this Lord's table, one of the things I sometimes remember and reflect upon is the fact that my great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, who were followers of Jesus, communed at the table. I never knew them. They never knew me. But the Lord knows us both. And there's something mystical for me as I, with so many millions of others, billions of others across the centuries, come together at the table of the Lord and receive by faith Christ Jesus, not just long ago and far away, but here and now in our lives. This Jesus who heals, this Jesus who leads us into a new life, a new way of perceiving, a new way of caring, a new way of serving. This Jesus who forgives our sins, our brokenness. This is the here and now Jesus who is also the Jesus present in Pentecost in that upper room in Jerusalem that confounded the witnesses, that astounded the disciples, and that continues to turn the world upside down. Were it not for Pentecost, Western civilization itself would be fundamentally different. Do you realize that within our own country, that the first colleges and schools and universities, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, College of William and Mary, and so many others, were initially created to train ministers of the gospel for the proclamation of the word. That's what they were. And they've grown in every field of human endeavor. Imagine how impoverished would be our art and our music without the gospel of Jesus Christ. J.S. Bach would have written what? Michelangelo would have painted what in the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel? Maybe a flat white. Art, music, literature, poetry, architecture have all been profoundly impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ and its proclamation. Sometimes in our history, we've done very poorly and sinfully, like the Inquisitions and the Crusades, no question. But we're a confessing people. We confess our sins. God has also blessed, child labor laws, civil rights, justice issues, women's equality. All of these, if you look closely, had a strong Christian evangelical outreach for social justice, rooted and anchored in the gospel of Christ. Wow. Pentecost isn't just a day on the calendar. Pentecost is our birthing and our founding moment. And thanks be to God for that. What are the areas in your life, in my life, that need an infusion of God's holy and cleansing spirit? Do you and I see life every day as a sacred moment of opportunity to serve others? Or is it the same old, dog eat dog, do what you can to get by? Is life more than that? Pentecost says, yes. The Holy Spirit says, you and I, sisters and brothers, are, to use biblical metaphors, you and I are temples of the Holy Spirit. Christ dwelling in us. Christ radiating from us in the words, in the deeds, in the kindness, in the service we render. It's a transforming spirit. When Christ comes into a person's life, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, he bids a person come and die. Die to the old self and live to the Christ within. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit, an invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is present in this table, not magic, mystery. Christ is here in the body and in the blood. And Christ calls you and me to be his body in the world. Not on our own efforts, we'll fall flat on our face. But the Holy Spirit of God living, gifting, equipping, empowering, healing, forgiving. It's that living dynamic of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, together at work within our lives, yours and mine. Oh, it's a holy day. It's a glorious day. It's a day to say thank you to God. For all those who have preceded us, all those who have written much of the music that we continue to sing, J.S. Bach is still alive. Oh, he died in 1650, but he's here. Our Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is here with us. Thanks be to God. Let all those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, all who would be renewed in faith, hope, and love in our Lord Jesus Christ, come to the table and receive from the table the sign, the gift, the blessing of life. The gift of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.